Thank you.
Good afternoon and welcome. Thanks for putting in your submission, which was very full. Thanks for that. We've read that. You don't need to reread that out to us, but you're very welcome to speak to it and highlight your key concerns for us. Thanks.
No worries. Firstly, thanks for the opportunity to speak here. Again, I'm going to have to do some apologies too. I haven't quite done the homework I was supposed to do. I thought I was on another day. Okay. I just got a phone call this morning to tell me to get housing here.
Right.
So, as I stated, myself and my wife Donna farm at Longwood, Lower Perikino. We milk just under 600 cows on 250 hectares, and also have a runoff at Longwood, around Hill. A couple of points I'd like to make about the whole plan. I'll just highlight on a few things. Firstly, the physiographic zones. I believe there should be an amendment, as I said. It doesn't take into account climatic conditions. It's all tight. And, as I say, and also it doesn't seem to be a process to be able to contest your physiographic zones that you're in. As I stated, our own runoff, it is under a peat zone where in the past, 100 years ago, it was mined and the peat is gone and it's all sand from mining overburden. And there's examples all over the country, over Southland where there's different land, different ground within those physiographic grounds.
Yep.
Just move on to the policy 46, the freshwater management units. I believe there should be subcatchments representation in that because obviously our own example is the Perikino catchment, which as it stands now is under the Aparima area. The ground and the issues that we have are completely different than what Aparima have. And I think that needs to be taken into account and probably a better approach to things. Rule 13, discharge from drainage systems. There should be an allowance for cleaning drains at given times. At times they do block up and we need to wood blast them out. There's no provision there to do that. Moving on, Appendix N, the management plan requirements. The way I read it, these are a yearly management tool which we have to redo every year. Now, we've done a focal farm report through Environment South and Dave Moore, and we've done a sustainable management plan with Dairy NZ. Mm-hmm. And they are good. We do like them, but they are time consuming and take a lot of work. And believe it shouldn't be a yearly thing, and maybe just one or two points change, like if you're around wintering plan.
Yeah.
Yes. Probably just look at Rule 38 too, sort of amendment with that, the timing of when we can put on. Do work restricting, it is restricting the timing when we can do maintenance work. Like, as an example, see the lane maintenance on our lanes that can only really be done during winter.
Just on that point, the staff have recommended to us that those dates be removed.
Yeah, no, I won't worry about that. And that's basically all I have to say, so thank you for that.
Thank you. Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rule 13 that you've mentioned, and you and a number of other submitters have suggested that there should be allowance for cleaning drains. We saw some quite clear photographs this morning. Would you see the discharge from the drain clearing and the discharge from a normal clearing of a drain with a HIMAC as being similar or the same, or are they different?
I would imagine that a HIMAC would create more disturbance than what water blasting does.
Thank you. That's good for that one. And your major comment here around Rule 32, effluent storage, and I'm just not clear your recommendation you've made here, what it's in reference to.
That's part of my homework I haven't done. let me see. Change to compliant position here. No, I'm not 100% sure what the rule applies to, sorry, and where I'm going with that. As I say, I thought I had another week.
Other submitters, so if you want to go back and look at that and then send something in, quite happy to receive that at a later date if you think there's something there that you want to explain a little bit clearer.
Yeah.
That's all from me, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
You just had a comment, I think, Chair, on Objective 9, which you say is a little bit narrow, maintaining aquatic systems in water bodies. Have you got the Objective 9 in front of you?
Again, that's another thing that I can't comment too much on.
Okay, that's cool. I know. Thank you. We'll give consideration to what you've seen.
Yes, just in your physiographic zones, you mentioned dredging to it.
Maybe 15 metres.
15?
Yeah.
It was a very deep hole.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
In terms of Rule 13 and water blasting of drains, do you have any mitigation practice in terms of capturing the discharge that comes out of the pipe as you're water blasting?
No, not at this stage, no. When we have done it in the past, it's very little discharge, really. I think the effect it has is less effect on the waterways than what a block drain does have.
Meaning overflow?
Yeah, overflow. Yeah.
So could you quantify that the effect that it has? An earlier submission, a person came in and said that they had taken photographs and they found after 30 minutes there was no sign of the sediment. Can you say, you know, when you do it, I imagine it'd be different from place to place as well. Some drains would take more cleaning out, others would take less, but typically how long would a stream or a drain downstream of your drain be affected by discoloration?
Yeah, it's a very short time. I would put it to 30 minutes to an hour. Basically, you're not using a lot of water, and generally, when we've done it, probably 10 minutes after you've water blasted, the tiles running clean again, and the sediments.
And it's not feasible to extract that water, say suck it out with a pump, or put it through some kind of sump or anything like that.
Probably nothing's impossible, but
not very practical.
Yeah. It depends on where your drain is through the system as well. Like if your drain's going, like where we have about a kilometre of estuary frontage. We can't block that off.
No.
And drain that. But then if you're at a top of a tiling, top of an open drain, possibilities are there.
Mm-hmm. Right. That could be part of a farm management plan, I suppose.
I'd imagine so, yeah.
And getting on to intensive winter grazing, could you give us a few guidelines that you think would be useful for people to be able to do that without having to get a resource consent?
Well,
What are good practices?
And good practices is obviously we like to have a very long front, and the animal's not walking on the crop at all. The fence towards the stream, do that last. You fence off your critical source zones.
Yep.
Where your tiles are, main tiles are, graze that last, or try to graze it under better conditions. And if you're grazing it like so now, when it was being frost this morning, you're not wasting the, you're not compacting the ground as much.
Yeah.
So it's basically, and back fencing.
What about management of supplementary feed? That's something you have to be careful with?
Yep, absolutely. As mentioned before, look, we put our baleage out during the year, so you're not running back and forth the track and making excessive messes. And
do you put that in a container of some sort, or just put it out on the ground?
Put it out on the ground, and then it's within a round bale feed with a cage, so it's not so much wastage. As well as on the home place, we run a carbon pad and standoff pad. You're catching a lot of your nutrients, and with the storage, you can manage the time of the year you're putting on your nutrients.
Right. Okay. Thanks.
Nice.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And no further questions from me, but it was very interesting to hear those good practices that you just explained to us. That's certainly deals with our understanding of what's desirable as well.
Yeah, I think the vast majority of farmers are doing that. I think it's, some of this is penalising us to catch the guys that aren't doing it.
That's right.
Thank you.
No, thank you.